an article I came across in First Things. First Things, a very heady journal. And that's, you know, when I said in the opening bumper stuff, persiflage. Well, First Things is kind of like the one journal you would get a word like that. And then I'd have to look it up. As a matter of fact, I usually have to look up about every six lines in First Things. Now, a little backdrop. In 1968, when Humana Vitae came out, the letter from Paul VI that reaffirmed the church's teaching on accepting life and not using artificial means to break the connection between being of one union with your spouse and accepting a child if God gives you a soul in that union. And Paul VI came out and said, we don't have the authority to change this. And furthermore, if we did, all kinds of things would happen. There would be a general coarsening of morals. Women would be demeaned. Abortion would rise. Oh my gosh, that sent off a nuclear warhead, a theological fission, especially in the universities. Oh, this is why you don't have some out-of-touch guy in Rome telling us how to live our lives. Now, at the time, there was a powerful narrative that essentially said, we're going to bury ourselves in people. There will be shortages of everything. Paramount will be food. There'll be shortages of food. We'll kill each other over food. You think we're fighting over oil? Why do we fight over food? And the drumbeat was relentless. You know, the late, great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. Oh, mega seller talking about what we're doing here. And, of course, the worst people in this were the Catholics. They were by far the worst because they were having more than what the society had decided was a proper amount of children. And Latter-day Saints, although Latter-day Saints were not as blameworthy because there weren't many of them, nowhere near as many of them as Catholics. Well, this just goes to show you a couple things. One, sometimes experts ain't experts. If that means they know more about something accurately than somebody else. And two, it's very hard to predict long-term trends. Which brings me to where I am right now, looking at this article in First Things. Since 2010, the U.S. marriage rate has been stagnant. Now, the only reason it's been stagnant is because the older people are getting married or losing a spouse or post-divorce, for many who don't follow the church's teaching on this, which is the majority. However, the young have not. Over this period, in the last 15 years, the share of never-married 40-year-olds has risen from 20 to 25%. So, about a quarter of people at age 40 have never been married. Now, if you're not married, your kids are, you're not going to have as many kids, right? And the average age for first marriage has increased now, about 2.5 years. Fewer years in marriage means fewer children. In 2007, it's not that long ago, 18 years ago, the U.S. total fertility rate was above the 2.1 replacement level. That's what the average childbearing woman of age needs, 2.1, to replace ourselves. Currently, it is 1.62. Lifetime female childlessness right now is about 15%. So roughly 15% of women. As soon as the group born in the late 1980s, so these are women currently in their late 30s, reach the end of their childbearing years, it'll be 25%. 25%. Now, in all rich democracies, and the last stat I heard on something like this, somewhere north of 80 to 100 of the world's countries, the fertility rate has been on a 10 to 15 year slide. The decline has ranged from dramatic, according to this article, to catastrophic. Down 20% in France and the U.S., 30% in Sweden and Finland, 40% in Argentina and Chile, which are Catholic countries, 50% in South Korea. Last time the UN surveyed this, a quarter of the countries worldwide reported policies designed to increase fertility. In 1914, this is interesting, the average American woman was having about 3.6 children over the lifetime. That poor kid that's 0.6, you know what I mean? Ooh, that's got to be rough. In 1957, now that's not that long ago, the average American woman was having close to 4 kids. You tell somebody you got 4 kids now and they think you've just got an explosion of a family. It's like, whoa. Before the decline, which has just precipitously dropped off, the average American woman was having about 2.1. Okay. Now it's down to 1.6. In Italy, my grandparents, what they called the old country, the fertility rate is so low that without any immigration, the country's population will be cut in half in 40 years. South Korea will be cut in half in 22 years. What's the point of all this? Well, once again, the church is right. Rather than this exponential growth curve that the self-anointed experts proclaimed back in the 60s and 70s, look out, you can't do this. It's going to go the other way. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have saw it coming? There's a book out back in, I think, the 80s, early 80s, late 70s maybe, called Megatrends, where these social commentators, I forget exactly what their degrees were, they were predicting all kinds of future possibilities, economically, socially, governmentally, on basis of what they measured of all kinds of variables. I don't remember what they predicted about this, but my guess would be they probably predicted that we better do something to get this population bomb under control, or otherwise we're just going to starve ourselves to death and there'll be wars and it'll be awful and terrible and we won't really have any oil because there's no more dinosaurs to die and fuel the oil. Which, by the way, I was talking to an oil engineer. He said, no, that's really kind of flawed. He realized that oil isn't necessarily from fossils. But that said, I think it speaks to me that how carefully you have to consider when you hear these long-term predictions, especially in the areas of, well, I would say directly countering the church's wisdom. Nobody would have guessed this would happen. Nobody would have thought these countries are in danger of demographic suicide. No, they would have just simply said, no, at some point your population will have to contract because you'll just all kill each other for the very limited resources left available. Raise a skeptical eyebrow when you hear these kinds of long-term predictions about the state of life, the state of existence, the state of the world. And all of you moms out there who are made to feel wretched and rotten and guilty because you've had more than your fair share of 1.62 children. You're actually to be commended. You're actually to be applauded. You look at those people and say, well, why are almost 50% of the countries in the world now starting to give incentives for people to have more children? I'm just doing my part. Isn't it interesting? You get the grief. Because apparently, a lot of these folks are still under the impression that you're destroying the Earth's landscape by choosing to have 3, 5, 7, 9 kids. Actually, you're doing a very tiny, small part to keep us going.